Welcome back to Faded Tales, everyone. This is Zoya. This is the podcast where we step into the shadows of nature and bring out the creatures that are too often go unnoticed, I would say. These are animals whose stories are at risk of fading away, hence Faded Tales. So today we are traveling into the rainforest of Central and South America, into a place where sunlight filters in only through thick canopy and forest floor, in a patchwork of moss, leaves, and fallen branches everywhere. It's here that one of the most striking and dangerous animals on Earth can be found. It's small, colorful, and powerful beyond its size. It's a creature that has fascinated humans for centuries. Today, we are talking about the poison dart frog. Tiny little amphibian, no longer than your thumb, but one whose bright colors serves as a warning to anyone who might try to eat it. These frogs are living examples of how evolution can create beauty and danger at the same time. What makes them so remarkable isn't just their size or their vivid colors. Those alone are enough to make you stop in your tracks. It's also their chemistry. Each species produces toxins for their diet, if feeding on ants, mites, and other small invertebrates. And these toxins can be powerful enough to kill. Yet despite their deadly nature, these frogs are also fascinating parents, careful hunters, and important parts of their ecosystem. In this episode, we will explore their world, from the golden frogs of Colombia to the intense blues of the Guiana Shield and to the reds, oranges, and greens scattered across Central America. We'll learn about their habitats, their behaviors, their unique reproductive strategies, and the ways their toxins interact with other animals, including humans. By the end of this story, you will understand why these frogs are considered jewels of the rainforest and why they're worth protecting. All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to Faded Tales. I hope you liked that long intro today. It's going to be a long episode today, and hopefully I won't have to rant. Now let's start with the very first one I've mentioned, is the golden poison dart frog, or Philobatza terribilis. I hope I pronounced that right. I'm probably butchering every scientific name. I will probably just call them their common name. These frogs are often called the most toxic frog in the world. Yes, the gold one is the most toxic. Native to the rainforests of West Colombia, this frog is small, like I mentioned before, about 2 inches long, but its skin contains enough batrachotoxin. I hope I pronounced that right. I know it's so simple to pronounce. I'm an English major. I can't pronounce words. It has enough batrachotoxin to kill multiple humans. Despite this, it moves slowly, deliberately, hopping across leaves and twigs as if it knows that its toxicity makes it untouchable. The bright yellow or gold coloring thing is a warning to predators. Here's a natural advertisement of danger. The golden frog's toxicity comes from its diet. In the wild, it consumes specific insects that contain alkaloid toxins, which the frog then stores in its skin. In captivity, where these insects aren't available, the frog actually loses its toxicity. This means its poison isn't something that is produced naturally on its own. It's a reflection of the environment it lives in, and it's a perfect example of how these frogs are connected to every part of the rainforest ecosystem. Golden poison dart frogs are also remarkable parents. After laying eggs on the forest floor, the male often guards them, keeping them moist and protected. Once the eggs hatch, the tadpoles are transported on the parents' back to small pools of water, where they continue developing. These small acts of care are repeated over and over, ensuring the next generation can survive in the dense predator-filled rainforest. Even with single species, they're very There's variation. Color can range from bright yellow to almost orange, and patterns on the skin may differ from one frog to another. The variation serves a purpose. It communicates to predators that even within the species, danger is constant, and its patterns that repeat across many species in the poison frogs will explore. I talked about the variation to you guys, but the variation is important. It reinforces the message to predators that danger is consistent, even if the appearance changes slightly. Across all species of poison dart frogs, color and pattern are a language of survival. Golden dart frog has been studied intensively for its chemical properties. Its primary toxin, batrachotoxin, affects the nervous system by preventing sodium channels in nerves and muscles from functioning properly. This can lead to paralysis and death in small mammals and humans. Researchers have looked at those compounds not just to understand how they work in nature, but also for potential medical applications. Because often, venom is actually used to cure stuff or something. Some components of their toxins have inspired studies for new painkillers, for example, and heart medications. This is what has happened with the golden poison dart frog. Despite their power, golden poison dart frogs are at risk, as any animal is. Habitat loss, deforestation, and climate change threaten their population. Conservation efforts to focus on protecting their rainforest home and understanding how to maintain populations both in the wild and in carefully managed breeding programs. Golden dart frog represents one of the extreme poison dart families. And next, we will talk about the blue poison dart frog. The blue poison dart frog is found in the forests of southern Suriname and northern Brazil. Unlike the golden poison dart frog, which lives in dense lowland rainforest, the blue dart frog prefers rocky outcrops and forest edges near streams. Its skin is electric cobalt blue, dotted with black markings. The color is intense, and it seems to shimmer in the sunlight, filtering through the canopy. Unlike gold, which warns of extreme toxicity, blue indicates moderate toxicity. Birds, snakes, and other predators learn to associate the bright color with danger. It's a survival sign. Blue poison dart frogs also exhibit unique parenting behaviors. After it hatches, the female may feed tadpoles with unfertilized eggs, ensuring that they have a food source in small pools of water high in bromelides. I hope I pronounced that right, because I'm not a science major, you guys. I'm just a girl who likes animals. I do not understand scientific terms. These small water-filled pockets can be just a few centimeters across, yet they're enough to nurture the next generation. Interestingly, the blue coloration is structural rather than the pigment-based. Microscopic layers in the skin scatter light in such a way that we perceive the intense blue. That makes the frog not only visually striking, but a reminder of how evolution can use physics as well as biology to create survival strategies. The blue poison dart frog is slightly less toxic than the gold cousin, but it still produces batrachotoxins and other alkaloids in its skin. These toxins deter predators and ensure that despite their small size, the frogs can move across the forest without being eaten. Blue frogs are social and territorial. Males often call to defend small patches of habitat and they may fight if another male intrudes. The calls are sharp and repeated, allows the frogs to communicate their location to mates and rivals alike. These frogs face threats similar to other poison dart frogs. Habitat loss, pollution, and collection for pet trade all contribute to population declines. Conservation programs in Suriname and international breeding initiatives are helping to ensure that the species continues to thrive both in the wild and in captivity. The blue poison dart frog teaches us that danger doesn't always look the same. Color and pattern and behavior combine to protect these small animals in a world of predators, and their complex social and reproductive strategies show how sophisticated amphibians can be, even when they're smaller than your thumb. So next, we are going to go to the red and orange poison dart frogs. Now that we've moved on to the red and orange poison dart frogs, No, because this is commonly, they're actually commonly called the strawberry poison dart frog, to be surprising. These frogs are found in Central America, especially in Costa Rica and Panama. And some are the most variable in color. Red, orange, and even blue or green variants can exist within the same species, depending on the location. This variation is a form of aposematism. This is a complicated word, as I suck at pronouncing words. This word means like it's the warning of colors that let predators know these frogs are toxic. That's the scientific word for it, but I've already explained that this happens. And each population evolves slightly different patterns based on its environments and predators it encounters. The strawberry poison dart frog are small and often 2 centimeters long like the rest of them. And even though they're even just like the blue one, they're fiercely territorial. Males are constantly trying to defend their territory, and fights between males are common. Female choice is influenced by male calls and their territory size, creating a competitive environment where only the strongest survive. These frogs also practice parental care as well. The eggs, after the eggs hatch, again, this time the females transport tadpoles individually to water-filled plants. The mother returns regularly to feed the tadpoles with unfertilized legs, like normal, while providing nourishment in environments where food is scarce. This level of care is unusual for amphibians and demonstrates the complexity of the poison dart frog's social system. Strawberry poison dart frogs are moderately toxic, again, and their skin contains alkaloids just like every other frog, but this alkaloid can cause numbness, irritation, or even death to small predators. The level of toxicity depends on the diet. Frogs raised in captivity without the natural prey may lose some of their toxins, which I've talked about before. Because all these the frogs are pretty much the same, but there's a uniqueness in each species. And I'll go into that later. Studying the frogs have revealed the importance of localized adaptation. Different populations have evolved distinct colors and patterns in response to local predators and environmental pressures. This makes them one of the most diverse and visually striking groups of the amphibians. Now, there's another well-known species of the poison dart frogs, and that's the green and black variants. They also have a separate scientific name, but I am not going into it because it's super complex. I do not speak Latin. And these frogs are native to Central America, but they also have been introduced into Hawaii, surprisingly, where they have adapted to their new environment. The green and the black frogs are larger than the strawberry dart frogs, growing up to 4 centimeters, I believe. Their green patterns often cover a black background, creating a modeled camouflage effect. While bright, this colorization allows them to blend into leafy environments more effectively than the solid colored golden or blue species. Like other poison dart frogs, they rely on alkaloids from their diet to create skin tone toxins. These toxins help protect them from predators, allowing them to move freely throughout the forest, just like the other variants of its species. The golden black poison dart frogs also exhibit parental care, just like its species. After laying the eggs, the male guards them this time and transports tadpoles to water-filled plants. Sometimes females assist with feeding tadpoles, demonstrating the cooperative care strategies that help ensure survival. These frogs are great examples of how coloration can serve multiple purposes. It can warn predators, but it can also provide camouflage, depending on the environment. This balance between the danger and protection is a common theme among poison dart frogs. I already went into this, but I'm going to go into it in more detail because I went into it species by species. But this one, I'm going into it fully. I'm going into the reproductive reduction and parental care. Now, all poison dart frogs, as I've mentioned before, they display unique and complex reproductive behaviors. Eggs are laid in moist environments on leaves or on the forest floor. Parents, usually the males, guard the eggs, keeping them hydrated and protected from predators. But sometimes it can be the female, like I mentioned before. Now, once the eggs hatch, tadpoles are carried to small pools of water, often in bromelides or tree holes. In some species, females feed the tadpoles with unfertilized eggs, providing essential nutrition. This level of parental care is unusual for amphibians, as I've mentioned before, or showing how poison dart frogs invest heavily in survival of their young. The reproductive strategies also vary depending on the species environment, as I went into before. All right, and you guys already know the differences, but you can also look it up as well. The territorial behaviors, mate choice, and parental cooperation all play a role in ensuring the next generation survive in the competitive rainforest environment. Now, I'm going to go in more into the toxic toxins and chemistry, even though I really suck at it. I really suck at this. I'm not a biology major. Heads up, I'm not a biology major. I am not a chemistry major. I am not any of those majors. I'm just an English major who really loves animals, and I love to talk about them. So bear with me. I might be wrong, but this is what I've researched. So I'm sorry to all the bio students and the chemistry students. Anyway, the skin toxins of the poison dart frog are produced through their diet, as I mentioned before. I'm probably going to repeat a lot of stuff I mentioned before, but I'm going into like a little bit more detail. Frogs eat alkaloid-containing insects, which are metabolized and stored in the skin. These toxins serve as defense, as I mentioned, against predators. They affect the nervous system, muscles, and heart, and even small amounts can be lethal. However, humans have also studied these compounds for medicine. Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and even treatments for heart conditions have been developed by studying the chemicals in frog skin. The potency of toxins varies by species and individual diet. Frogs raised in captivity without their natural prey produce far less toxic skin, and this makes conservation of natural habitats essential, as the frog's survival and defense mechanisms are directly tied to the insects they eat. Poison dart frogs face numerous threats: habitat loss, deforestation, climate change, and diseases like citrate fungus that have led to the declines in many populations. I probably butchered that, but sorry. Conservation efforts focus on habitat protection, disease management, and captive breeding programs. By studying the frog's behavior, diet, and breeding habits, scientists hope to maintain populations in the wild and protect these species from extinction. These frogs are also important indicators of ecosystem health because they are sensitive to environmental changes. Declines in their population often signal problems in the rainforest as a whole. Protecting poison dart frogs means protecting entire ecosystems. So before I go into the ending of the script, I kind of want to answer a question that you might have. You probably don't, but I like to talk about, have there ever been conflicts between different species of the frogs? Well, there was a documentary I watched. I believe it's the Asia documentary. I might be wrong. It was a David Attenborough. No, it was the Colors. It was the Colors documentary on Netflix. David Attenborough one. Not the sound one, the Colors one. So it was shown that they did the test. Each frog's croaks are different in variation of species. So they played the blue frog croak near a red territory, and they didn't get any response. But when there was like a red frog, no violence. And when there was a red frog croak in the territory of another frog, and the robots and the male red frog saw another male frog, which was the robot, started getting defensive and attacking. So it kind of shows that like they don't really attack each other, different species. They only attack like in the same species, like because like there's a strawberry one and the golden one, there's the blue one and all that, blah blah blah. So they don't really fight separate species. They only fight in their local species. So which I found that really interesting, and I feel like you guys should watch the Colors documentary. Animal documentaries are quite interesting, or if you just want to find something to sleep to and learn to at the same time, you can learn that too. Poison dart frogs are small, brightly colored, and incredibly powerful. Each species demonstrates a unique combination of behaviors, colors, and toxicity. from golden frogs to Colombia to red, blue, and green species across Central and South America, these frogs are living reminders of this rainforest complexity. Their bright colors warn predators, their toxins protect them, and their complex parental care ensures the survival of future generations. At the same time, they face threats from habitat loss and disease, making conservation efforts essential. By studying and protecting these frogs, we not only preserve their beauty and diversity, but we also gain insight into the rainforest ecosystem as a whole. These tiny frogs carry the story of survival, adaptation, and balance, a story that is worth noticing, studying, and protecting. This has been Faded Tales, you guys, and this story of the poison dart frog, one of the jewels in the rainforest, small in size but enormous in impact. Now, you guys are probably listening to this in Reading Week, and so I wish you guys all good luck on your midterms, and I wish you guys good luck on your studies, and don't procrastinate, but it'll procrastinate when you're listening to the podcast, or listen to this when you're studying. Goodbye!